Let's just pray God's peace, God's hand over this beautiful country as He is. But I tell you what, He is in control. He is in control. So this morning, I just want to share something, and it was so lucky to hear us going out, because I feel that God is a whole message that He says, go and make disciples. Not sit in the church, not sit and do. He says, go and make disciples. We are part of the process. We are part of it. Sunday morning, us here is part of it. But there's a going that we need to do. So have anybody here heard of a guy called Stan Lee? Can you put your hand up if you heard of... Okay, who is he? He's not the brother of Bruce Lee, so by the way. He's also not a brother of Moodley. No, he's not. Okay, so Stan Lee writes comics. Okay, so Stan Lee was born a couple of years after World War I, 1922, and he lived through that time, and he was actually part of World War II, although he wasn't fighting. He was actually writing manuals in that time. So, but can anybody tell me, this will be very interesting, apart from my girls, who was Stan Lee's first superhero that he was writing about? No. I also thought it was. The Destroyer. Yes, I've never heard of him. But after that, who was his second one he wrote about? Not Spider-Man. The Fantastic Four. Has anybody heard of the Fantastic Four? God, thank goodness. Okay. Maybe you've not heard of the Fantastic Four. You know about Spider-Man. You know about Hulk. You know about Thor. And if you live under a rock, then you won't know. Okay. I'm not talking about any of them this morning, but it is very interesting. If you haven't read a comic or watched the movie, you know who Spider-Man is, hey? You know who the Hulk is. It's like there's a bit of a reference there. I want to tell you this morning that there are four guys in the New Testament that were superheroes. I don't know their names. We're going to read about them this morning. So if you have your Bible with me, you can open in Mark 2, and I'm going to read from verse 1. And the title of this morning is The Four Crazy Friends. And I pray that you and I will become these four crazy friends. So let's read together in Mark chapter 2 from verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He came home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to Him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Okay, so here's the four crazy friends, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Him because of the crowd, they made an above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth." This is so beautiful, to forgive sins. So they said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone and they praised God. "We have never seen anything like this." Okay, so here we have this account of Jesus coming into Capernaum, and it says, the scholar says, that the house that he went to was very possible Peter's home. So they went into this house, and next minute there's this crowd of people. It's amazing that when you and I read where Jesus went, there was this crowd of people. Hey, he was like, in very much in today's terms, he was the influencer of the day. Hey, where Jesus went, there was people there. But I love this. He got into the home, and there was all these many people. And when he sat, he started to preach the word. Jesus sat there, he saw all these people, and he started to preach the word. And I tell you what, you and I can be in a place, and there's people around us. Jesus didn't talk about the next new cat TikTok video. He didn't talk about the politics of the day. He didn't talk about what is happening around in that city. He started talking about the Word of God. And he started preaching the Word. And I want to tell you this morning, for me and you, the only thing that's going to change people is God's Word. It's God's Word that you and I deposit into people's lives. So when you and I have that gap, when you go to that Pick and Pay, when we get to that spa, when you sit and there's people around you, yes, we can talk about the weather. Yes, we can talk about those amazing things. But when they walk out there with the substance of God's Word, they changed. Because the Word of God stirs faith and it deposits something into their lives. And I want to encourage every one of us that you and I must be so full of it that Scripture says what the heart of the mouth overflows what's in our heart. Let's make sure that you and I fill ourselves up with God's Word. That when we squeeze, that comes out. This morning on my way here from Modderfontein, there's a one robot as you turn into this road. It's green that way, but there's a red arrow. So you've got a red. The arrow needs to turn green. So you've got to wait. But in South Africa, a red robot means nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm standing there as the good man that I am, and there's a guy behind me, and I can see he's coming around. He's going to go, you know what, my blood just started boiling. Eh? And there was words that I had crept. I'm like, Lord, this can't come out now, not on a Sunday. Nie vandag nie. And I realized what my heart is full of, the mouth overflows. Friends, when people squeeze you, what comes out of your mouth? Because what you and I deposit in you is what will come out. And I pray and I trust for all of us as we grow that we will be so full of God's Word that when we're in any situation, we will preach the Word of God. That will change people. My life, my nothing can do anything. It's God that does that. And let's fill ourselves up. That is why it's so important to have accountability like life groups. That's why it's so important to be at youth on a Friday so that we can iron sharpens iron, so that we can encourage each other, so we can support each other. But friends, I want to tell you, your disciplines, put them in place. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. So Jesus was preaching this Word. It says, and he preached to them. Who's them? I love it. It was the Pharisees and the teachers that were sitting there. So you've got to remember, these are the big boys in the house. Okay. They're sitting there and they just wanted to hear what is Jesus, because they're waiting for that opportunity to crucify him, to nail him down and say, okay, but you can't do this. So they're sitting there. But we read that this house was full. Full. Here we have these four friends that comes onto the picture. I love this. So these four friends hear that Jesus is in town. They didn't talk about it. They didn't carry on playing Fortnite. They didn't just sit there and go, I hear his name. They immediately had their friend on their heart. Immediately. They go, you know what? Jesus is here. Let's get our friend to Jesus. I love that. They already had that mindset of the sick to bring him to Jesus. Do you and I have people in our hearts that when we sit here in God's presence, you go, I wish so-and-so was here right now? Do you and I have people in our hearts that when we listen to God's Word, go, man, if only so-and-so could hear this Word this morning. If only so-and-so could be in our prayer meeting. If only so-and-so. Friends, you and I need to make sure that we have those people in our hearts, that we pray for them, that we are there for them. Those four friends' immediate thing was, let's get our friend. Now, you've got to understand, they had to plan this thing out. We read that they got them to their friend, lowered him down, and he got healed. There needs to be planning in this. Okay. First of all, probably to go to builders, get a rope. So I go, we're going to pick this Oki up. The two strong guys, you in the front, the two weaker Okes, you in the back. Okay, so I would always be in the front because I'm big. So I'll always be like carrying the weight in the front. And I'll be there, we pick this friend up and we'll go. So you also got to understand, they've got to say, where are we going? Because it doesn't help the two in the front go to the left and the guy in the back go to the right. Because that poor paralyzed man will have more injuries after that. Okay, so we got to make sure that we're in unity. These four friends were in unity. They had a mission and they knew what they're going to do. Get our friend to Jesus. Get our friend to Jesus. Carrying their friend. Listen, there was no NP200 bucky there. They couldn't just load him in the back and say, "Komos han khoi milis." They had to pick him up and carry him. Okay. Now, guys, I remember there's some nice families here with little ones. That little baby, after half an hour, it gets heavy. Hey, when you keep carrying that little one, after a while, you're like, yes, what is this child eating? It feels like a sack of potatoes. They probably got tired. They probably got like a bit weary after it. Imagine they got to that house and they saw all these people there. I don't know about you, but have you ever got into a position where you wanted to buy something and you heard there's a special that Friday? And you think, okay, Friday morning, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to rush in. We're going to buy that. You get there and there's those crazy people with their camp chairs that's been there the night before. Sitting there and you think, do I really need that air fryer so badly? Do I really need that? And you start contemplating. You know what? If you want it, you're going to make a plan, hey? These four friends didn't get to that house that was full and went, we gave it a good shot. Let's just leave him here. There's a lot of people that's going to come out. Somebody can take him back home. They had determination. They had determination. They didn't stop them. They made sure, okay, there's some stairs up there. Take him up there. You've got to picture this. Imagine we're sitting here now, busy preaching, and this roof just opens up. And there's like metal falling all over. There's a light falling down. I don't know about you, but I'll stop preaching immediately and going, hello, hello. What's this biggie beersachiso? You know, what is going on here? It sounds so normal, but it was stones, it was mud, it was clay, it was sticks opening up. And it wasn't a little hole because they had to lower their friend through there. So this was a big hole. They had like a skylight after that probably the whole rest of the time. Peter was probably thinking, I did want to do renovations anyway, so it's okay. Friends, they opened up this whole roof. They took time and opened this. Nothing stopped their four friends to get their friend to Jesus. How many times do you and I just stop praying for our lost and saved brothers? Oh, Lord, I'm giving up on them. These guys didn't stop. Can you and I have that perseverance in our lives that when your mom, your dad, your kids, your family, your neighbor, when they're not saved, friends, can we not intercede and never stop praying for them? Have this determination that these four friends have, that we will carry on praying for them. Opening up this, lowering him down. And I absolutely love this. When you read the scripture, Jesus looked at the friends. He looked at the friends. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven. How beautiful is that? Jesus looked at the four friends' faith. And he says, your sin is forgiven because of their faith. I'm telling you this morning, Hope City, you and I need to carry people and bring them into the presence of God. You and I need to have that faith that we need to see this place full to count numbers. No, so that people can get changed and set free. So that people can meet Jesus Christ. So that people can get to encounter the living God. That's the only hope that you and I can hold on to. I know people are fearing what's going to happen Thursday. I cannot fear because I know God is fully in control. Friends, when I look at my two goals and I think, oh, the future ahead. No, my friend, God is destined for them to be born in the time that they are born. That's why I've got to say, Lord, you've got a future for them. I'm trusting you. Oh, my job, my this. Friends, and it's a reality for all of us. But I want to tell you, we hold on to Christ because He is our hope. These four friends didn't stop. They didn't give up. They pushed through everything to get their friend to Jesus. Can us as a family, as a church, say, Lord, we want to see that the lost out there get saved. That the people out there that need you get into your house and to get to hear who you are. They didn't stop. They lowered their friend down. And as Jesus looked at them, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. It's amazing how Jesus, paralyzed guy, immediately you can see there's something wrong with this guy. Looked at completely different. I don't know about you, but have you seen that God's kingdom works completely different? God says, you've got 5 rand, give me 2.50 rand of that 5 rand. Just give it. No, because God's kingdom works completely different. The currency of the world says, hold on to it. God says, give it away. Because as you sow, you will reap. That's just so much, it's mind-blowing. God says, go and do it. And you go, no, Lord, I need to sit back. No, no, just step out. Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, I'm going to walk on this water. Makes no sense. Yeah, it's me. Come. You will walk on water. You will do things. Because God's kingdom operates completely different, friends. And when Jesus looked at this man, he could see, okay, he's paralyzed. But the first thing that Jesus did, he says, I'm restoring a son back into the kingdom. That was his mission. That was Jesus' first mission. Restoration. Restoration. He came back to restore. Jesus says, I'm here to seek and save the lost. Seek and save the lost. And I want to hear stories through all of us that we spend time with people in the week and they got saved. I want to hear testimonies of grannies praying for the grandkids and they got saved. I want to hear testimonies of kids praying for mom and dads and they're sitting with us because they got saved. I want to hear those stories, friends. Not next year, not the year after. I want to start hearing those stories now because God is active and alive doing what he does. Let's be those four friends that does this, friends. Jesus revealed his mission, restoring the soul, not just the body. Restoring the soul and not just the body. Three quick things we learn from these friends is number one, they had compassion. They had compassion. They heard Jesus was coming. Immediate thing they thought of was, I need to get my friend to Jesus. They had compassion. Look at some of these scriptures. Luke 7:13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, don't cry. Jesus looked at her and he immediately, his heart went out to her. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Matthew 4:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Luke 19:41, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He saw the city. Listen very quickly to me, friends. Jesus saw the city and he wept over it. When last did you and I start crying over Edenvale? When last did you and I take the opportunity and say, Lord, I'm crying out for this city. I'm crying out for the Vale. I'm crying out for its people. There's so many churches in this place. There's still so many people that are not saved. There are so many people that are walking around now. Man, just go from here to Carra Glen. It's full. It's packed over there. I'm telling you, there's people that needs to hear this gospel. There are people that needs to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When last did you and I weep over our city? When last did you and I cry over our city? Jesus showed here, he had compassion on people. He had compassion as his four friends. I want to tell you, it's so easy for me and you to say this thing, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Do you know when you say that, God's going to do it? He will wake you up 2 o'clock in the morning with somebody's name in your head and he will ask you to pray for them. Why? Because he's breaking your heart for what breaks his. For the lost, he will start telling you about people that are out there. Friends, go on your knees and start praying for them. Start interceding for them. Start just saying, Lord, I'm crying out. Crying out for A, B, C, D. When we say this, God's going to do it. But then act on it, friends. Compassion. Second one, faith. These four friends heard that Jesus was in town and they just knew they had to get their friend to Jesus. An ordinary faith would stop at the door. An ordinary faith would have stopped at the door, would have given up. But an extraordinary faith said, let's push through. An ordinary faith would stop at that door. But I tell you what, the extraordinary faith says, let's carry on with us. There's something going to happen today. In South Africa, where you and I live, we need extraordinary faith. We need that. And we can say, Lord, I don't see it always, but I'm holding on. Because I know that I know you are fully in control. I love James 2 verse 17. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Friends, we can talk about it, we can sing about it, we can lay hands on it, we can do whatever, but when you and I act upon it, something changes. That's why I said these four friends could sit in the house, probably braai like a Buddha voice, eat it and go, I heard Jesus is here. Oh, wow, is it Jesus that saved? It's that one. Oh, that's so amazing. Well, let's just carry on. Friends, they didn't carry on. They acted upon that faith, took their friend to Jesus, lowered him down at his feet, and they saw Jesus changing his life. They acted on that faith. I act on that faith? That neighbor, you know that one that plays the music till 3 o'clock in the morning? That neighbor? You know the one that irritates you sometimes because his dog couldn't stop barking? That one? Maybe you must just invite him. Like you're thinking, oh Lord, not that neighbor. No. No, there's no chance. Yes, that neighbor. You're living in a complex. I know a lot of us live in a complex. You've got plenty neighbors. You know that one that, yes, I remember, we lived in a complex. The guy above, I don't know what he did, but like 9 o'clock, moves furniture. Furniture. 9 o'clock. I just hear, hee! Half an hour later, hee! And then he skips. That's the last guy I wanted to invite to church. Probably more to like a boxing ring. So listen now. Let's just help each other out. Let's just sort it out. Friends, I want to tell you, you and I are an opportunity that we can invite the people around us. Invite your friends, invite your family. Why? So we can fill a building. It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. But do we want to make sure that they are entered into God's kingdom? Yes, definitely. Do we want to see them saved? Do we want to see their lives changed? Most definitely. Do we want to see men stand up and change the dynamics of their family? Most definitely. Do we want to see mom and dads changing their kids? Most definitely. I want to tell you, let's be those friends that act upon faith. Say, man, let's do this thing. I want to bring you in. I want to pull you in. And then the last thing is, get on with the mission. This is not the first and only time we read about people bringing friends or family to God. Matthew 4, 24. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Matthew 9, 32. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. Matthew 15, 30. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, many others, and laid them at the feet, and they got healed. Acts 5, 16. Crowds gathered as from towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick. Friends, there's something in that bringing. There's something when that friends, how's that? That's almost like a new language I'm speaking here. There's something when that friends bring their, and lay them at the feet of Jesus. It's like I'm sitting here and I'm telling you now, you're already thinking in your head, and there's so and so. Oh, there's my friends at school. There's this at work. There's my colleague there. There's my dad. There's my brother. There's my sister. Maybe it's your own children that you can say, Lord, I need to bring them to your feet. Friends, I don't know about you, man. I was sitting one day at home and I was reminded of friends that we bribe with, friends that we hang out with, friends that we spend time with. And I was just so compelled in my heart at that specific moment, sitting there and thinking, for 20 years we visit, for 20 years we bribe together, but will we be in eternity together? Because it's lucky to spend good time. But I tell you what, I much rather miss that and make sure that they're with me for eternity. I'd much rather get denied. I'd much rather get whatever if I say, you know what, I need to share something with you today. You again. Yes, me again. Because I want to make sure that you know that when I leave here, you and I can be at that place that I can pray with you, that you will be with me, with him for eternity. I just want us to make sure that the people in our lives, that we pray for them, that you and I have that heart that this four crazy friends had to say, man, I just want to bring my friend to the feet of Jesus. Hope City, I want to tell you, it's time that we bring people to the feet of Jesus. It's time that we bring our family to the feet of Jesus. It's time that we bring our spouses to the feet of Jesus, because it's only him that can change us. It's only him, but it's about the salvation. It's about him setting us free. This morning, I want to challenge us. Let's be like these four friends that sees our brothers and sisters in need, that we have compassion on them and the faith that Jesus still saves, but also that we go over into action and we pick them up and we bring them to the feet of Jesus. When I say this, it probably will mean you're going to have to open your house a little bit. It probably mean that one day you'll have to host a life group in your house. Yes, you. Not me. Yes, you. Because we need to bring friends into that house so that they can meet Jesus. It's probably going to mean that your Saturday will change a little bit, because your bride is not going to be a bride with lots of beer. And you think, who come? Because the people that's going to come in here doesn't look like me and you. They don't smell like me and you. They don't act like me and you. How are they going to hear that news? When you invite them in and you put them at the feet of Jesus. Change their lives. I didn't say drink with them, okay? Just said invite them. Bring them as they are. People must walk in this building as they are, but they walk out completely changed.
People must come in your company as they are, but something in their hearts must go, man, I don't know what Vas has got in his life, but I want that. I don't know what Terry is talking about, but I need more of that. I don't know what Sonia is living out, but I want to be like that. Friends, when they're in our presence, it's not us, but it's God inside of us stirring them. It's the Holy Spirit hovering over their lives and saying, I've got your number, and I will not let go. Friends, can we be like those four crazy friends that says, I've got this people. I want to invite them. I want to bring them in. And I want to make sure that they get with us. This is an amazing community. Can we be like four crazy friends that jumps at the opportunity to take the sick and the lame and bring them to the feet of Jesus? Please stand with me.